Good morning.
Good morning.
When I was last here with my parents and my granddaughter, I was headed to the Bronx, and we were going to drive because mom doesn't fly. And we had a great, great experience. And there's this girl there who y'all know. We stayed with her. You know, I still remember her as a little girl. So it's hard for me to see Sarah Fraser Miller in any other light than just a kid. But let me tell you, she's not. And well, she is, but she's amazing. And so I'm saying greetings back from her and Brad to you. She said, be sure when I was here again to say hello. And she'll be back soon. We're going to get ourselves together with me on the same page here by watching a brief video that you've seen before.
Our default position as strugglers is to believe that God's disappointed and frustrated. That He simply is tolerating us. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 1 says, No. Before the foundation of the earth was laid, He was going to adopt you, make you holy and blameless in His sight. So whether difficult days or good days, God's at work. God has not abandoned you in this difficult season.
How amazing does that make our God that in our hypocrisy, He's long-suffering with us. In our inability to live out all that He would call us to, He continues to lavish upon us His grace. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. So I love this word lavish, extravagant, plentiful, over the top. And so now when the Bible's talking about forgiveness, it's saying that His grace in forgiveness is lavish, like it's too much, like it's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous amount, right? It's weight, it's over the top. It's out of control. Man of woman of God in Christ but struggling, God does not regret saving you. He doesn't regret it. You haven't surprised Him. You cannot surprise Him. God is not watching where you are now, watching how you've struggled this week, watching how you stumble and fall, and regretting the decision to pay the price for you in full. You have no sin, past, present, and future, that has more power than the cross of Jesus Christ. None. This means that your salvation wasn't just a past event alone, but that Christ even now is continuing to save you. He didn't forgive your past sins and now leaving it up to you to conquer present and future sins, which means it doesn't matter how you came in here. It means God can rescue. It means God can save. And it means for those of us who are in Christ, you do not discuss Him. You do not discuss Him. You don't know what I struggle with and how deplorable it is. I know that Jesus would say that He paid the bill in full, and so what you're saying is nonsense. That is the grace with which He lavished on us in His forgiveness.
So, I don't know. That just gets me going, hey? So, here's what I do sometimes. I play it in the car. And then I start doing it like, you know, you sing along with a song and just go off, and it's good. Next thing you know, I'm doing my hands out here and yelling, and it's good. It's just good. Well, I had an experience Tuesday, a shopping experience, and here's what, I went to Goodwill, because that's my go-to, right? And I noticed something that was really, really wrong. And I know you guys on the front row here, you love this phrase here, but back in my day, we had rules about Christmas and decoration. And the rules were, you don't do that till after Thanksgiving. You know, there was rules, and we kept the rules. I went to Goodwill Tuesday, and they had Christmas trees out. I'm like, oh, this is wrong. Not right. But it did make me think about Christmas and about the idea of gifts. So I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you are box shakers? You know, a box shaker? So that means if you don't have your hand up, you're not a box shaker. Well, I love Christmas and opening packages, but mostly I love to watch kids open packages, right? And I have some grandchildren, and they're the best because they don't mess around. They go in for the goodies. They're not waiting, you know, they're not being careful. They're not thinking like, we're going to use this bow again. No, they're going straight for the goodies, which is maybe why Jesus said this about them. Oh, look, man, I forgot my toy. No, Jesus didn't say that about kids. But how many of you are box shakers? Okay, you already confessed that. Children are the greatest. They begin to play with their toys right away. So Jesus in Matthew 18 and also again in Matthew 19 says, you know what? You guys need to be like kids. Now, I always wondered about that because what is that? And there's a lot of sermons, lessons about what is it about kids I need to be like? But I think it's maybe this. They go for the toys and they play with them right away. Well, we're going to come back to the idea of presence in just a minute. But I want to do a little bit of review of some things I've said here before. And man, I heard y'all, well, you know, if I hear something about you, it's come from Sally. So good, bad, or ugly. She said y'all had a good week last week, Sunday, just sharing some things about your timeline, your story, your history. And I want to go just a little bit of review there again. So I've talked about the idea of prevenient grace. The idea is God prepared the way for you to experience a relationship with Him that is dynamic and full of joy. He has prepared the way. And I talked to you about my family, and you guys have talked about yours, but God is at work. He's preparing. And not only that, He's not only preparing the way for you before you are ready for it, He's also pursuing you. If you get off the path, He's never let go. He's always going to be in pursuit of you. But He wants you to have a relationship with Him, okay? And the next thing is, we talked about justifying grace, the idea that there is a moment when you say yes to the gift. You say yes to the gift, and it's the gift that's going to restore you and bring you back to your true and rightful status as a child of God, as an heir of all the great things that God has for us. And that this moment is a recurring moment. It does just don't say yes once. You say it over and over and over again. And perhaps I hope this morning you've even said yes to Jesus. Well, here's the question for today. Since God's done so much for us, then why is it that often we don't experience love and joy and purpose? Sometimes we're saved and yet we're blah. And we're strugglers. And it seems like if He's done so much, what is it that maybe we're missing? Today I'm going to kind of challenge or maybe I hope challenge a little bit you, but I want to get our minds even more closely together, and I want to do it in this way. We're going to sing an old hymn. And the old hymn we're going to sing, I was raised, I say, in different churches. Mom and Dad traveled a lot, so I was the San Saba Church of Christ was home base. And I can remember, we did this in every church, my sisters, myself. We had in those days, we didn't have the handout that had the order of worship on it. We had a board on the side that told all the, you know, songs, right? The numbers of the songs. And what we would do is when we'd go in, we'd see the numbers, and then we'd guess what was the song. Because we'd seen these numbers before, right? And we're going to sing the song, Just As I Am. And Just As I Am was number 131 in our books. And we sang that more regularly than I thought any song there is. And Just As I Am has a lot of baggage with it. So I'm going to ask you to kind of lay down your baggage and just listen to the song and then the words. I want to read the words to you. I want you to think about this message. I'm going to read the whole thing. Just want you to listen. Maybe even close your eyes for a second. Close your eyes would be good. That way I'll hand the... Oh, you're going to sit there and you can... Okay, great. Just as I am. This is how I'm wondering if we, our church, could be this kind of place where we could come just as we are. Just as I am. I always think this is no makeup. Just as I am, without one plea, except the one plea that your blood was shed for me and that you bid me to come. You ask me to come, O Lamb of God. I come. I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, I'm wondering today if anybody has a dark blot that they want to be rid of, to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict and many a doubt, because this is our world, conflict, doubt, to thee whose blood, to with fears within and foes without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, God, I want to come just as I am today. Your love, unbelievable, incredible. Matt Chandler, it's over the top. Your love has broken every barrier down, and now to be yours. We belong to you. We're dedicating ourselves to God in this song. Now to be thine and thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come. Let's sing. Thank you. just if you feel comfortable, just let your palms be open in front of you and pray with me. God, this morning we come just as we are. There's nothing we can hide from you. There's nothing we want to hide from you. We're just us. And we ask that you would accept us as we come, as you ask us to come. Here we are. Here we are. Here we are. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a seat. So that question again. Since God's done so much for us, why is it sometimes we don't experience that love and joy and purpose? And when I say experience, I'm not just talking about an emotional feeling, even though there is some emotion to it. I want to think of a couple of experiences that I'm going to just say you have feeling, but there's more to it than that. And it's something, I don't know how to explain what happens when this happens. And some of you have experienced this, and perhaps some of you not so much. Not so much, maybe. Is your first kiss. Remember that? Some people, it's... Yes. Some people, may so long ago, it's... You don't remember, sometimes it's just not quite ready yet. But wasn't that just... How do you explain that? You just want to say, good. Or maybe it's the... have you ever... Some of you have played sports and hit a ball. If you're playing a sport where you hit a ball, have you ever played a sport where you hit a ball, softball or baseball or golf or tennis? You've played sports where you've hit a ball. There's this thing called a sweet spot. And when you hit the ball in the sweet spot, it's just good. You know, that just is right. It's not emotional feeling. But it is a feeling, and it involves all your senses. Kind of, or you've walked in and you smell your favorite food. Like maybe we will in a minute. There's just something that's happening, and it's more than just your senses of smell, especially if your favorite food takes you back to a place where your grandmother cooked it. And I don't know how my grandchildren will feel. I mean, my children feel about their grandmother's cooking. I think they feel it's good. My grandmother's could cook. And especially my grandmother's cook could cook. Because mom had a grandmother who had a cook. But those moments where we have an experience. Well, it's more than that, though. It's more than that. And so what I want to suggest to us is that God has given us a gift of grace. And sometimes we don't experience it. Sometimes what we need to do is just open the present. But how do we do that? God's given us a gift. And so much of the time, it seems, maybe the gift is just, it sits there. And it's not open. And so we're not experiencing the gift because, but so we want to open the box. We want to get the goodies. But how do we do that? And so what I want to suggest also is this, that we're going to take a step back into tradition and history. And some of us, okay, would think tradition is not a good word when it's associated with church, except for I've come here and y'all have several traditions that you'd practice every Sunday that are really good. And so are some of these that I want to suggest to you. We're going to use a term called, for a moment, sacrament, okay? So a sacrament is defined as a religious ceremony or act of the Christian church that's regarded as an outward sign, an outward and visible sign of something that's going on inside. It's an inward and spiritual divine grace. Now, in your little notes thing, it says, in particular, scratch that out. Now, there's another slide here that's really important that I didn't... It's not in your notes, but I want you to read this. Remember, a sacrament is something you do. Grace is a gift that's already been given to you freely. Grace is not something you earn by doing a sacrament. Okay, we're all on the same page there. Sacrament, something you do. It's going to be something you do. It's not the gift. It's something you do. You already got the gift. The gift is yours. Okay? So, again, just a little history here. Sacraments, I'm going to call them sacred moments, allow us to better experience the gift of God's grace that He's already given to us. He gave us this grace long time ago, like on the cross 2,000 years ago. And we have received that gift already. As soon as we said, yes, Jesus, I'm yours, we received that gift. And yet sometimes, even though it's been given, we've received it, it's not in action yet. Okay, more little history here about sacraments. Traditional Protestant sacraments are baptism and communion. These are super important to us to be able to experience the gift of grace. The gift we've already been given, the gift we've already received, but maybe we're not experiencing fully. And what helps us do that is these sacraments, baptism and communion. I'm going to continue to call them sacred moments, and these are very important. I wonder if you guys remember your baptism, and is it important to you now even? But for sure, communion, as we've already expressed it, often these kinds of things can become just a check the box. I did the right thing. And they don't help us experience the grace of God. But what they're given to us for is so that we can better experience the grace that we've been given. Okay? Now, baptism and communion, we're going to talk a little bit more next week. Right, Danny? Okay, good. Good. I'm not going to be here, so pass the baton there. These are super important. The Catholic Church also includes some other things as sacraments. Good things, confirmation, penance. We're going to talk a little bit about penance's other name in a minute. Anointing of the sick, sometimes called sacred rites, or ordination, marriage, matrimony. These are other sacraments and important ones. I would say this, Jeanette hit on something this morning that in the communion thoughts in the book. Church membership is a sacrament. It's something that's part of the gift that we've been given to help us experience God's grace. All right, let me get down to it a little more. So, we're going to call these sacred moments. They're moments when we experience the grace of God. I'm going to call them sacred moments. Some of them will be heavily steeped in symbolism. For instance, communion and baptism. Lots of symbolism in those. Some of them are about powerful memories. And these memories remind us of our identity and our purpose. Same, baptism and communion still fit right in that category. Some of them are, I'm going to call them dynamic behaviors that open to us opportunities to grow in our new life. But let me just get back for a second to the, I did that thing. Yeah. I want to go back to this, the idea of the package. So here we are. And you've been given the gift. Okay? Here's the gift. Watch me. I know I shouldn't have done that. Watch this. Let's see. I can fix you guys. The new toy has some.
Did anybody get the fourth one?
Yeah, see. See. The box, right? What's in the box? All right, so here is the box. Have you ever seen somebody get a new car And in the box, they have keys. And what typically happens with that person who gets the keys out of the box? They do that, yes. And then they put the keys back in the box and do something else, right? Watch the ball game. Not really. Or maybe it's a kid and they're on their second present, and the first one, you know, a package of underwear, which they threw up against the wall. And then they got this thing, you know, and boom, they were at it. They were going for it. They had six other presents to open. Doesn't matter. They opened this one and here they go. Or perhaps you've been in a situation where someone just gave you something like that. Especially if you're a female getting this from a male. Okay? And then you open it. Then you put it back and in the drawer. No, it's not what happens. You put it on, you start the car, you play with the toy. You put the ring on the finger, right? This is what we do. This is sacred moments. This is what you do in baptism. You experience that grace of God. You're opening the package. You're doing something with. Now, the thing is, the gift that God gave you, it's yours. And you said, thank you, yes, but now then let's experience that gift. And so here's a couple of, and that's not a perfect example, you know, it's not perfect. There's some holes in that, duh. But there's a couple of things I want to talk about today as we'll go into some other sacred moments next time, and there's many of them. But one I want to talk about today is when you forgive a person who has wronged you or someone you love. Some of these moments, sacred moments, aren't as easy as putting on the ring. Some of these that we're going to talk about today are pretty difficult. And yet, there is great power in these. Jesus says this, actually. I mean, he just loads up and calls it what it is. In Matthew, he says, if you forgive others when they sin against you, you'll be forgiven. And if you don't forgive others, you won't be forgiven. This is the idea of accepting the grace of God. I've been saved. God sent His Son to die for me, but now I've been offended. And there's a barrier that comes up between me and a person, but maybe it's not me and a person only, it's me and God. And he says, I'm not going to be able to experience the grace of God unless I can forgive that other person. So this sacred moment comes when I forgive you because you have wronged me. The opposite of that is just grudge, holding a grudge, or seeking revenge, which we'll say is often like, this is the comment that's made more than, bitterness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. It's like, how many of you, I know, because I am, how many of you are mad at someone right now and they don't even know you're mad at them? Yeah. And you just get, and you want them to, but they don't feel nothing. They're walking along. Bliss, you know? God's calling us in order to experience His grace, opening the box by forgiving the person. Now, we're not going to spend a lot of time, we're not going to spend hardly any time talking about the nuts and bolts of forgiveness, because that's a series in itself, can be, about forgiveness. But the idea of forgiving another person is part of the way God has laid it out for us to experience His grace, to live this full, beautiful life, this new life that He has given us in the cross of Christ. It calls for us to do this thing called forgiveness. for us to forgive someone will further experience the sacrifice, the grace of God. Now, the next one, we're going to talk about two today. There's many sacraments or sacred moments, is confession. When you confess sin to God and another person. Now then, this is not like saying, the prayer, God, forgive us of our many sins. You all have heard this prayer and prayed this prayer, but forgive us of our many sins. And we're all sinners, and so got it done. Done that. Check that one. But no, it's confessing to God in a way where we acknowledge, really, that we hurt someone, that we were wrong, that there's pain that I caused God and others, and I'm confessing that, I'm saying I did this. Psalm 32, powerful. First of all, though, confessing to God is not surprising him. He already knows you've sinned. You're just agreeing with him that he already knows. You're telling him you agree with what he already knows. I always thought it's crazy of Adam and Eve, right, to try and hide from God in the garden. It's like playing hide and seek with a little kid, and they're hiding under that chair, and they hold their, you can't see me, can you, Grandma? No. Yeah, God can still. So that's what confession is. You're agreeing. But here's Psalm 32, powerful. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed are those who sin the Lord does not count against them, and in their spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through all my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. And I said, I will confess. I'll confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. My son was 16 years old, Jason, my youngest. And we were living in a house, same house my parents were in for a couple of months while we were in the middle of purchasing a house. And he came in one night. My wife and I were already a bit in bed. It was about 10 o'clock. He's come in driving my car, and I hear him go into his room. He walks in and says, good night, Mom. Good night, Dad. Walks in his room. A few minutes later, he comes back, and I'm half asleep. And he says, Dad, your car, the right front wheel is kind of wobbling. And tomorrow you might notice that when you drive. I say, okay, thanks, son. He leaves. 10 minutes later, he comes back. And he says, Dad, I didn't tell you everything about the car. I said, okay. He's waking me up. I said, what's up? He says, well, I hit a curb. I was making a left turn. I hit the curb on the right front tire, and that's probably why it's wobbly. I said, okay, you still drove it home, everything's okay? Yeah, I said, okay, good. He goes to bed. 10 minutes later, he comes back, says, Dad, I didn't tell you quite everything. I said, okay, son, listen, this is it. We're getting the whole thing out right now. He said, well, my friend and I were chasing some college guys with water balloons, and they started chasing us, and we were kind of racing around in the neighborhood. I said, okay. But he couldn't sleep. The hand of God, in this case, the hand that I might find out about what he had done, was on him. It didn't let him, it was a burden on him. And often this is the way it is when we have secret sin in our lives. Until we get it out there, there's this hand of God pressing on us, and we're not experiencing the grace of God. And what we need to do to experience the grace of God is confess. Now, confessing to God is one thing, but the Bible also asks us to confess to another person. Confessing to another person is an exercise in accountability and freedom. Often, without confessing to another person, you still feel the burden of that sin like it's a secret. And yet you know God knows it's not a secret to God, But it's still a secret to you and anyone else. And so God suggests, not suggests, requires in James 5 and in 1 John chapter 1 that you confess your sin. In James, it says to another person. In James 5, we'll confess our sins to others. Now, we have some problems about confessing, though, and I think these are things that kind of get in the way of confessing. That's 1 John. We're going to move to that. One is self-deception. And another is fear of rejection. And another is pride. So I don't want to come tell you my junk, because if I tell you, you're going to think less of me. I already think I'm a great guy, and I think I'm the best anyway, and I don't want you to know I'm anything but the best. One time, I was eating Sunday lunch with my parents, at my parents' house, and our family was, and there was quite a few of us there, and we're getting ready to have dessert, and we're having cobbler and ice cream. And so we're having cobbler and ice cream, fruit cobbler, some kind of mixed fruit cobbler, and Mom was dishing out the ice cream, and it was hard, brick. Boom. So I was going to go help her. And I got the thing scoop out the ice cream to put on the cobbler to go. And I thought, this ain't working as hard as I could. This thing was a brick. So we had these Cutco knives. And I thought, what I'm going to do is take a knife and slice like a pie piece of ice cream out and then get the scoop and do it, you know. And I'd just been pushing down really hard with the scoop, and I got the knife, and the knife was sharp, and it went through that ice cream like butter, right into my thumb. I grabbed my thumb and said, or more, and some blood had dripped out onto the ice cream and the cobbler, but that's okay. It was the same color as the cobbler, pretty much. Yeah, so I kind of hop around. My mom says, what did you do? I thought, cut my thumb. And blood squirts out, and I get faint. And my little four-year-old granddaughter, who was here 2 weeks ago, she runs around the corner and says, Pop, call 111. And so we went to the hospital, and I was going to have surgery to repair a tendon and a nerve. And so 2 days later, I'm going to have surgery, and they give me some instructions. And then the instructions of the fixing my thumb, look, it's okay now, I can do this, what? Yeah, and so they say, and the instructions, don't eat or drink anything before you come. Well, you know, I kind of was that, you know. I thought some coffee and just a little bite of Pop-Tart would be okay, right? Just a little coffee. So I walk in the hospital and to the thing, and they're start. And I give them my papers, and they say, and it's on a box. You say, have you had anything to eat this morning? I checked, no. Right. Okay. So then, what happens is the first person I walk up is, and they look at my paper. Okay, good, good. Now, and I've already checked this on the box, but they say, have you had anything to eat or drink this morning? And you know, I'm like, do they have cameras in my room? You know, I don't know. So I said, no, no. Okay. So we go upstairs, up the elevator to the place, and they're going to get me in. The receptionist, this is where they're going to put anesthetic in me. And they say, have you had anything to eat or drink? I said, what's the deal with these people? You know, is it on my face? No, haven't. And so then the anesthesiologist comes, and he's putting this stuff, and he's going to put my whole arm dead asleep, and then they're going to kind of give me some other stuff when they put me on the table to do this surgery. And he says, have you had anything to eat or drink this morning? I said, no. And now I'm feeling like, oh my gosh. So then we get to the table, and the surgeon is a guy who I've known for years. He's worked on football players that I coached. And he looks down at me and says, you know why they bother people about that food and drink thing, don't you? It's because sometimes, even if you've had just a little bit of food and you're in total and knocked out, you might aspirate and die. So I'm at this point laying on the table, right? And I'm thinking, so what do you think? Did I tell him or did I not tell him? I haven't had anything to eat. I was willing to die, rather than expose myself as a liar. You know, really? Isn't this crazy, though? God says, get free from that stuff. But it's our pride. It's this idea that we're going to be rejected. If I tell them the truth, they'll think I'm a bad person. I am a bad person, but I don't want them to know. Well, they already know, you know? And so confession and forgiveness, two things that open up the box and let us experience the grace of God. These are things we do. It's not the grace of God, but it's things we do that help us experience the grace of God and feel it every day on a more, just a more dynamic way. So, forgiving others and confessing sin are risky and sometimes don't turn out that good right off the bat. But in the long run, this is what God's called us to. He's called us this in ways that are going to reward us. It's not that he's going to take back his gift. He's not saying, I'm taking this back. But he's saying this, I want you to have all the blessing of the gift. Sometimes it's not going to be great. Sometimes it's going to be hard. Sometimes you're going to forgive someone and they're going to act like they don't accept your apology. Sometimes you're going to confess a sin and person's going to turn away from you thinking, I didn't think you were that kind of guy. Y'all might do that to me now after my thumb story. But what God's calling is to take that step with him, that step of obedience and say, I want you to experience my love. To do that fully, you need to do these two things. You need to confess sin. You need to forgive people who have wronged you or people you love. We're going to sing here in just a second, and then after that, I'm going to talk about a little bit more of what I hope you would continue to do in your timeline experience, your testimony experience. But let's stand and sing right now. Just, again, song of love and grace, the love and grace of God. On your sheet there, there's a couple of things I'm asking you to add to your timeline. And it has to do with people who you've forgiven or sin that you've confessed. And just think back in your life and your story about moments where that happened and how's it going now? Since then, what's happened? What kind of restoration or what kind of restoration has happened? Or maybe it's still hard. Maybe there's still things that need to happen in that relationship where you've either forgiven or confessed. But another thing is, I want to say, some of us probably have people we need to forgive now. And we need to go ahead and take that step. Sometimes you might need a partner who's going to say, let's go, let's do that. Let's do it. And sometimes you might have, others may have some sin that need to be confessed. You might need to have someone less like that. And I hope we can be that kind of community that says, just as I am, here I am. I've got sin and I've got things I need to confess, but I trust the grace of God. And I'm counting on the power of the blood of Jesus to help me through this. So as you go, trust in that. The power of the cross is with you as you go this week. Okay. See you later. Thank you.